today we start a new Simon, Simon Pei Tes of Yerideya. Also, a very Nogea Lamaisa and very familiar Simon Tes. We probably learned pieces of this at some point in the past. But what I'd like to do today is just go through the Sugya in the Gemara, see how the Rishonim interpret the Sugya, and how that leads us to our Minhag, or the various Minhagim we have about how much time we should wait between having fleishigs and having milchigs. So let's start with the sources. There are basically two passages in the Gemara with very different implications about what you have to do in between eating meat and eating dairy. First, you have the Gemara on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis to Kuf Hei Amud Aleph. I didn't send out Mar Makamas today, but I figured if you open up the Torah Beis Yosef, you should be able to find this pretty easily. The Gemara tells us, Tana Igra Chamua de Rabbi Abba, Of Ugvina Ne'echolin Ba'apikoren. That Of and Gvina, if you have chicken and cheese, you can eat them Ba'apikoren. So what does that mean? So Hutani Lavu Amarla. He had to explain. What does that mean? Ba'apikoren, with like a sense of, I don't know, Hefkeros or something like that. It means below natilas yadayim ubelo kinua chateh. You want to have oaf and you want to have gvina. You don't need natilas yadayim. You don't need to clean your mouth out. Everything's fine. You can just have gvina right after having oaf. Rav Yitzchak Breder Meshasha ikel beravashi isle gvina achal. Then the Gemara tells a maysa that they brought Rav Yitzchak Breder Meshasha cheese and he ate it. Isle bisra achal. And they brought him meat, and he ate it. V'lo masha yadeh, and he didn't wash his hands. So Amri lei v'atani yigrach mod Rabbi Abba ofu gvin nechal ba'bikaron ofu gvin in basu gvin lo. Whenever we have the word of in a teaching, it's always bedafka, right? Of always means of as opposed to basar. So if we're told that you can have ofu gvina without requiring any tilas yadayim, without requiring any kinua chapeh, means dafka of, but not basar. So how could you be makel even with basar? I'm a little hani mili bilele. I'll be mama hachazina. He says, yeah, it's true that basar and gvina were more machmir than we are with ofu gvina. But even with basar and gvina, we only have to be machmir at nighttime because you're not going to be able to see. And apparently, being able to see makes a big difference in terms of this. Now, if you notice, when the Gemara starts, when the Gemara tells us the statement about ne'echolin ba'pikoren, it's oaf and then gvina, right? It's chicken and then cheese. So we said, okay, good. Chicken, then cheese, and ne'echolin ba'pikoren. Then when we tell the maysa that happened, there are two things that change. The Gemara only notes one of the changes, right? One thing that changes is that it's not oaf, it is now basar. And the Gemara says, ooh, that sounds like it should be more chamur because it's basar, it's not oaf. And the Gemara acknowledges, enochinami, it is more chamur, just not as chamur as you think. Because if it's broad daylight, it's okay even with basar. But what's okay, what also changed in the story, is that they brought him gvina first and achal, and then they brought him bisra and achal. When the Gemara first told the story, it was of ugvina, it was of, sounds like of first, and then gvina. Then when we tell the story, apparently it switches around the order. And we don't even note that. The only thing the Gemara notes is that the meat went from basarof to basar behema. So Igra says you can eat chicken and then immediately eat cheese, which in a derech apikoren, in a hefker way, even without washing your hands or mouth. The Gemara tells Rav Yitzchak ate cheese and then meat without washing his hands. How is he allowed to do that? During daylight hours it's mutter, because apparently the concern is that your hands are going to be dirty and greasy and full of whatever it is that you were just eating before, the full of the meat, and you're not going to notice it, and you're going to be, you know, finger looking good, eating the cheese and licking off the shuman of the basar from your fingers. But if you're able to see in broad daylight that you don't have anything on your fingers, then it's perfectly okay. Now, if I were to just ask you in terms of what has to be, how much time do you have to wait between milchigs and fleishigs and milchigs, based on this sugya, the answer is nothing. There's no time. It doesn't give any indication that zman means anything, right? That there's some action that has to be taken, perhaps. The Gemara alludes to the idea that there's such a thing as a kinuach, that there's such a thing as an atila, that washing your hands, and apparently hands really important because daylight makes the difference as far as that's concerned. But nothing about waiting, about any period of time that you have to wait. But then the Gemara tells us in Daf Kufay Amud Aleph, Amrav Chista, Achal Basar, Asur Lechol Gvina. Now all of a sudden, whereas the previous Gemara didn't seem to distinguish between which one came first and which one came second, now all of a sudden we start distinguishing. Achal Basar, Asur Lechol Gvina. If you ate meat, you can't eat cheese. Gvina, but if you ate cheese, Mutar Lechol Basar, then you're allowed to eat meat. And the Gemara didn't give any, right, without much further detail, that's very confusing. What does that mean? You ate meat, it's also lechol gvina, like forever? You know, once you're fleishig, that's it. You get to be milchigs when you're young. You know, pick a proper age where you want to eat meat, because then you're in for the rest of your life on meat, and you're not going to be able to be milchigs. You'll be like Rav Shechter, you won't be milchigs for decades. So is that the way? So that's clearly not what it means. But we have to figure out what does it mean, right? So achal basar, asul achal gvina, gvina mutal achal basar. But after cheese, you're allowed to eat meat. And again, it's not really telling us what you have to do between the cheese and the meat. But we just saw in the Gemara, just a moment ago, that you do have to do something. That you have to wash your hands, unless it's broad daylight, in between cheese and meat. So anyway, so the Gemara goes on to say that Amar Marukva, we're going to skip around a little bit, Amar Marukva, that I am like vinegar, the son of wine, in comparison to my father. Because if my father would eat meat today, he wouldn't eat cheese until the next day, 24 hours from now. I just won't eat meat in the same meal, but if you wait till the next meal, that'll be good enough. I'll eat meat in the next meal. So we see from here, apparently, that there's two critical things. First of all, that there's a clear difference between meat and cheese versus cheese and meat. And second, that there's something about the passage of time. So whereas passage number one in the Gemara, the Sarn Kuvdal and Beis, seemed to make no chilik between which one came first, and nothing about waiting an amount of time, but indicated to us that there's some action that needs to be taken between one and the other. Netilas yadayim, kinuach hapeh, something like that. The second part of the Gemara tells us that there is a difference between which one came first. There is something about the passage of time, though it's somewhat unclear what that passage of time is. Even in the story itself, we have two minhagim that are recorded in the Gemara. One 24-hour minhag, but then in the same family, a different minhag from the next generation in the same family, not to wait 24 hours, but to wait just mesu'uda l'su'uda. So you see that there is some time thing, but nothing about any action that has to be taken in between one and the other. So this leaves the Rishonim with a lot of room for interpretation, obviously. Meaning, when you have the Gemaras all over the place, The Gemara is all over the place in terms of what's a factor and what's not a factor and what you need to do in between one and the other. So that's going to leave a lot of room for Rishonim to try to figure out what's going on over here. So some of the Rishonim assume that there are options as to what needs to be done in between. Meaning, since we have one sugya that tells us, or one section of the Gemara that tells us that you're supposed to do something, and another section of the Gemara that tells us not do anything, just wait. So must be that, you know, it's like Shnei Chesuvim HaMachishim Zeh, right? So what do you do when you have two sugyas that are machish, one and the other? So by Pesukim, we have the one of the Shaitan HaJashba, not Shiva Kosov HaShlishi V'Yachriya B'nehem, right? There's a famous comment from Yosef Engel. He says, and what if there's no Kosov HaShlishi? You just have Shnei Chesuvim HaMachishim Zeh, and you can't make a new Pesuk. We're not writing those anymore. So what do you do if there's no Kosov HaShlishi? So Yosef Engel says that's exactly the Gemara that discusses Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara discusses whether Yantif is supposed to be Kula LaHashem, Kula Lachem, or it's supposed to be Chetzi LaHashem, Chetzi Lachem, right? So because you have two Pesukim, one that says that it's LaHashem, one that says Lachem. So he says, you see, it's Machlokes Tanoim, that some say it means that you have options, O Kula LaHashem, O Kula Lachem. Or the other possibility is, no, not that you have options, split the difference, you need a little bit of each. So we also have two, I mean, obviously it's not the same, we're not Tashin Torah Shem Chassav over here, but we have two sugyas over here, so maybe the Gemara is telling me two different sugyas, because it's presenting two different options. And one option is you could do something to cleanse yourself in between, and if you cleanse yourself in between, that's good enough, or you have another option that you can wait. Other Rishonim say that no. The difference is whether you ate milachik first, where then kinuach v'adach is good enough, or you ate fleishik first, where you need time. Meaning the previous sugya was lav dafka saying it in the correct order when it started by saying of ugvina nechol b'apikorin. Of ugvina may mean that dafka because it was basar of that we were talking about over there. But if it were actual basar, it wouldn't be basar ugvina. It wouldn't be. It's lav dafka of first and then gvina. It may be referring to the other way, that when it's gvina and then of, or gvina then basar, so then you only need kinuach v'adacha. So gvina then of doesn't is nechel b'apikoren. Gvina then basar requires kinuach v'adacha. But the Marukva story was basar and then gvina was when you ate fleishik first and then you wanted to eat milchik. So that's where we're talking about how much time you need in between. So let's go through what some of the Rishonim have to say in terms of the nitty gritty of their analysis of this Gemara. So we'll start with this. Tosfos in Kuf Dalet and Beis Dibra Maskel of Tosfos is bothered by the Gemara's question. Frek Tosfos Tema Dehechi Parach Migvina Achar Basar Abasar Achar Gvina Drab Yischa Gvina Vachar Basar Achav Lo Dami Kedam Besamach. Tosfos right away says the two parts of the first Gemara don't match. That the Gemara started by saying that of ugvina nechol b'apikoren, and then we asked about Rav Yitzchak Brei de Mishashia that he ate gvina and then he ate basar. Tosfos says, but just read weiter in the Gemara, you'll see that there's a major difference between which one comes first and which one comes second. How come the first sugya seems to ignore? Why is the Gemara asking from Igra on Rav Yitzchak when they're not talking about the same case? Rav Yitzchak ate cheese and then meat. Well, we infer from Igra that you're allowed to eat chicken and then cheese, but not eat meat and then cheese. So it's two different orders. So Tosfos gives two mahalchim, and there can be major ramifications of halacha in the two mahalchim of Tosfos. So first Tosfos says Yesh Lomar Dahachi Parich. The Brice of the Igra Mashma Ofu Gvina Nechon Bapikorin Belina Til Sedayim Belokinu Achape Aval Shar Basar Boyinu Tila Vikinu Achape. That the Gemara could be read as follows, says Tosfos. That Igra taught that you could eat chicken and then cheese without washing hands, without washing your mouth. But meat and cheese, you would need to wash your hands and wash your mouth. But in which situation was Igra teaching that you need to wash your hands? He couldn't have been talking about a situation where you first ate meat and now you want to eat dairy. Because washing your hands and your mouth is not going to help, as we're going to see in the Gemara, as we see in the Gemara right after that, that achal basar, asu lechal gvina. And from Marukva we see that there's no action that's going to work. An action is not going to help. You're going to need time to pass after eating meat. So what's Igra talking about? He must have been talking about a case where you ate cheese and now you want to eat meat. And in order to eat the meat, you need to first wash your hands and your mouth. So now we understand the question on Rav Yitzchak. How did Rav Yitzchak eat the meat after the cheese without washing his hands? We learn from Igra that you need to wash your hands. And the Gemara answers that Rav Yitzchak was eating in the daylight hours and he saw that there was no remnant of cheese on his hands and he therefore didn't wash his hands. Meaning, when the Gemara originally said that line, that ofu gvin nechon bapikoren, we were under the misimpression that means fleishik first and then milchik. That the diuk to make is that if you eat real flesh and then milchig, then you need to do netilas yadayim. No, that's not what it meant at all. It meant milchig first and then fleshik. We cannot have been talking about where it was fleshik first, because it was fleshik first. That's the next sugya. So essentially, if you have a davar sasum in the beginning of the sugya, and then you have a davar mafurash later in the sugya, so you favor the mafurash over the sasum, and you say we misunderstood the sasum, meaning the earlier part of the sugya was not explicit that it was oaf first, so it must be that it was talking about gvina first. That's mahalik number one of Tosos. Then Tosos has a second mahalik. Tosos quotes Rabbeinu Tam in the Bahag. Rabbeinu Tam Farish V'chein Halachos Gedolos Da'achal Basar Asulechal Gvina Hainu Belo Netilu V'kinuach Ablin B'netilu V'kinuach Shari. He says, no, keep the mashmos the way we had it. The Davar Sasum, we were correct. It was saying that Ov Ugvina Nechal B'apikoren, and the diuk to make is that Basar and then Gvina. Basar and then Gvina, Netila Sidayim is good enough. Netila V'kinuach is going to be good enough. Aval Gvina Mutalechel Basar, Achal Gvina Mutalechel Basar, Ach below Netila V'kinuach. If you ate cheese first and then you want to eat flesh, then you don't even need Netila V'kinuach. Umar Ukva Teloach Latsudach Riti. Aye, why is Marukva waiting for another Suda? Marukva's father waiting for another day? Hainu below Netila V'kinuach. They had a major aversion to brushing their teeth. I don't know. There was something that they didn't want to do Netila V'kinuach. They didn't. So if you didn't do Netila V'kinuach, then you're going to have to wait X amount of time. Inami machmer al atzmahaya. Or all of it was a chumrah. Meaning the whole. What's the indication that it's all a chumrah? Because generally you have to follow the halacha. If your father said the halacha is you wait 24 hours, you got to follow the halacha and wait 24 hours. So why is he downgrading the halacha? So you know he's changing it. He's not changing it. His father had one chumrah. He has not. No chumrah. He has his own chumrah. But it's all just a chumrah bi'alma. That's a third of mahalich of Tosfos. So again, the Bahagin Rabbi Natan tell us that if you eat meat, you're allowed to immediately eat milchig as long as you wash out your mouth and rinse your hands. And the Gemara that says, achol basar, asur echol gvina, is talking about where you didn't wash your hands and mouth. And similarly, Mar Ukva waited after eating meat was only because he didn't rinse his hands or wash his mouth out, rinse his mouth, wash his hands, or because Stam he was machmir himself. So one second. So if a person is eating meat, you either, according to this, you either have to wash your hands and mouth, or wait for the next suda, and that would be sufficient. But if you eat milchig, you can immediately eat meat even without rinsing your hands and mouth. So now we understand the Gemara's question on Rabbi Yitzchak. The Gemara assumes that Igra, who required washing your hands in between the eating of meat and then cheese, is also going to require washing your hands in between eating cheese and then meat. And the only difference between meat first and cheese first is whether you need kinuach hapeh. But they're the same as far as Netilas Yadayim is concerned. So the Gemara asks in Rav Yitzchak, how do you eat meat after the cheese without first rinsing his hands? And the Gemara answers that during the day you don't need to rinse your hands because you can see if there's any food residue on your hands. So to basically summarize, what we've seen is three shitos. Number one, first explanation of Tosos, you're not allowed to eat meat and then immediately eat cheese because the Gemara says, achal basar asur le'achal gvina. Mar Ukva tells us, how much time do you need? Suda l'suda, that's the amount of time you need. If it were the reverse, cheese and then meat, so then if it's basar be'ema, you need a netila. But generally speaking, with cheese and then meat, you need to wait. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, you can eat cheese and immediately afterwards eat meat, as long as you rinse your hand. As long as you rinse your hands and mouth. But if you eat meat and then you want to eat cheese, then you have options. Then you can either rinse or you can. If you eat cheese and then if you eat meat and then you eat cheese, you either could do kinuach or you could do a waiting period. And Tosfos and Daf Kufay Amar Aleph Dibra Maskula Sudas Achrit Achilna says a little different from Rabbeinu Tam, that you could be misalik the shulchan v'yochel miyad. No minimum waiting period, no need for kinuach, but a different part. That you have to misuda l'suda is a statement of halacha. It's not a chumrah, but the option that's being offered by misuda l'suda is not an amount of time. It's to do something, not physically to yourself, but to do something to indicate that you're holding in a different suda. Yeah, so that meaning the last Tosfos, right? That being misalik the shulchan, right? So how does being misalik the shulchan work? Meaning apparently it's going on a totally different track. Meaning up until now we've been assuming that whatever you're doing is going to physically remove something that was there. Meaning there's something in your body that is there's some remnant of the cheese or the meat or something. So there's kinuach, there's netila, there's waiting, and all of those things serve to rid yourself of something that's in your body, whereas Tosfos changes the paradigm, right? That Tosfos changes the paradigm. Now, it's not about anything physical. Suda achrina means that because all of this is only a din d'rabbanan, so what is the issur d'rabbanan? The issur d'rabbanan is to have meat and cheese together, to have ba'apikorin, to have ov and gvina kabinechel ba'apikorin, with hefkeris, and you don't have to, but otherwise, you need to just make clear marks. You need to mark off that this is that one is different from the other. How do you mark that they're different from the other? By doing a Netzilas Yadayim, doing a Siluk HaShulchan in between. Yeah, you have to say something like that. That kulucha de gezera, iloha, lo kai maha, something of that nature. Yeah, you have to say something like that. So what do the poskim have to say? So as far as the poskim, so the Rambam in Macholos Asuras Perek Tes Halacha Chaf Ches, and Rov Rishonim really, the Rosh in Perek Ches, those hey, the Rashba also on that sugya, the Miri on that sugya. But the lashon on the Rambam is Misha achol basar b'tchila, bein basar behema, bein basar o. If meat came first, and meat means even chicken, lo yochol acharav chalav at sheyisha b'nein kidei shir suuda acharas. That suuda l'suuda is not like the Balei Atosos said in Kufei Amud Aleph, that it's to be misalik to shulchan. No, kidei shir suuda acharas. It's not about making a show of dividing from one meal to the other. It's about waiting an amount of time that would reasonably take away any remnant of the previous food, and that is the amount of time between su'udos. How much is that? Says the Rambam, Behu kimo shei sha'os, mipnei abasar shel ben hashinayim she'eno sar bikinuach. That's something like 6 hours, kimo shei sha'os, because there's meat that gets stuck between your teeth that's not going to be removed with kinuach. So that's like, seems like the first explanation of Tosfos, that you need to wait after eating meat, even if you wash your hands and mouth. Meaning when it came to eating, first explanation of Tosfos said, when it comes to eating cheese first, okay, that's with kinuach, netila, and for basarof you don't even need kinuach and netila. When it comes to eating meat first and then eating cheese, so then you're going to need to wait misu'udu l'su'uda, and the Rambam just quantifies what misu'udu l'su'uda, that it's kamosh she'shos, that's the normal time that elapses in between meals, and the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Aleph paskins like the Rambam, that you need to wait 6 hours after eating meat, and the Ramah then concludes, v'yesh medaktikin lahamtin she'shos, achar achilus basu l'gvina, v'chein nachal na'asos, that the proper thing to do is to wait 6 hours, right? V'chein nachol la'asos, and that's the right thing to do. So is that la halacha according to the Rama? V'chein nachol la'asos? Doesn't sound like la halacha, but the Shach adds in Sifkan Ches, v'chein nachol la'asos l'kol mi sheyesh bo reach Torah. Anyone who has a reach Torah, that's nachol la'asos. It's a difficult Shach, no? What does that mean? Who has a reach Torah? I mean, where else do you find that phrase? That you know, you can tell me a hagdara of an ama aretz versus a chaver. Okay, those hagdaras are all over Shas. What's a reach Torah? You have to, like, does it smell like Torah? Like, what does that mean that a person has a reach Torah? So the poskim are bothered by this. Poskim don't understand exactly what the shach means. So I think most understand the shach is talking about that everybody. Meaning, it's a lot of times when you read. When you read a source, it all depends on the tone, right? So you could read it as "Kol mi sheishbo afilu reach Torah," you know, like even a little shmeck of Torah. You should, or it's "Ooh, if you have a reach Torah, you have an aura of Torah around." So it sounds like someone who's a chash of a person. So pashto l'shach is, I would think that like the first way. Anyone who has any ben Torah, anyone who's at all connected to Torah should wait 6 hours. Kafachayim in Os Chavches understands that Reach Torah is a ma'ala yisera the Talmidei Chacham v'tzadikim. He understands the other one. Kol mi sheyesh bo Reach Torah. Ooh, someone who has a Reach Torah. So, but regular people don't need to wait 6 hours. But then the Kafachayim acknowledges that Nespashei Daminik b'kol Glilus Ashkenaz to wait 6 hours. That even though the Shach says that it's only for those who have Reach Torah, and that's apparently a very chashuv thing. Yeah, but b'kol Glilus Ashkenaz we wait 6 hours. So that's the Rambam. So again, the Rambam tells us that Suda L'Suda, meaning like the first day of Tosfos, that it's about the difference between Basa first versus Gavina first. And if it's Gavina first, then you don't need to wait anything. You just need to do something, some sort of kinuach. If it's Basa first, then you need to wait. Then kinuach is not going to do anything. You need to actually wait X amount of time, and the Rambam quantifies that amount of time as being 6 hours, and And the Rama quotes Yesh Medaktikin and Bechenachon Lasos, but sounds like for Ashkenazim, not Meikra Adin, but something that's appropriate to do. Then Darkei Moshe Nose brings from a Shari Dura that Rabim Noag in Lahakel, Va'osalem Pshara Midaatam, Lahamtin Shah Achas, Achar Sudas Basar, Vesilku Birchu, Va'az Ochlin Gvina, Afal Gavdulo Ashkechon Time of a Remez Lashir Ze, Mikol Makom Miyim Chabiyadayim, Olvatos Ve'aravya Matiri. Well, so he says some people do some sort of hybrid. Meaning, what did the Balei Atos say in Kofi Amaral? They said, just be beside the Shulchan, just, you know, a bench. Make it another meal. So that's a declaration, new meal. It's not totally in any waiting time. But then they add in a waiting time also. And the waiting time that they add in is 1 hour. So the Rama says, there's no remez, or, you know, to this shir. I don't know where this comes from. This waiting 1 hour, because if it's about demonstrating that it's another Suda, so being beside the Shulchan and benching should do it. But nevertheless, it certainly works according to Tosfos. So if it works according to Tosfos and you want to throw in a chumrah of an hour, okay, gzatay, throw in a chumrah of an hour. But really, you don't even need that according to Tosfos. According to the Balei Tosfos, or at least one of the deos in the Balei Tosfos, you could just be mesalik the shulchan. Then the Rama brings the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. So again, so far we have two basic shitas. We have the Rambam, which is Kemoshe shows, we have, you know, where it's quantified and it's a large amount of time between one suda and the other. We have the Darkei Moshe in the name of the Shari Dura, that it's a very tiny amount of time coupled with being mesalik the shulchan, but it sounds like the ikar is really about the siluk shulchan, and the 1 hour is just thrown in there as a chumrah. And then the Rama brings the shita of Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos in combination. The Yesh Omrim, the Einshrich Lamdim Sheshos, Rak Miyadim Silik Birch Birch Samazim Motur, Al Yedei Kinuach Vadacha. Ooh, so now he's saying Suda L'Suda requires not only a demonstration that the Suda is over, but also an action, also a Kinuach Vadacha. So you can eat dairy immediately after your meat meal, as long as benching and you wash your mouth. Tosos required Suda Achriti, Rabbeinu Tam requires Kinuach. The Rama says, okay, do both. Right? Meaning he's putting together the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam and the sheet of the Balei Tosos and Kofei Amud Aleph. So if one requires a siluk of the Suda, and the other requires Kinuach, some sort of action, so the Rama says, do both. And then the Rama says, Rama has like every sheet over here, then the Rama says, V'aminik ha'pashut b'medinos elu lahamtin achar achil sabasa shah achas v'ochun achar kach kvina. The minik ha'pashut is they wait shah achas and then they eat kvina. Meaning, and that's it, right? The minik ha'pashut is just waiting, but only waiting 1 hour. Mihu tzrichim levarich gamkein birch samaz and achar basa does have iksuda acheres demutalechol l'divrei makilin. But he says, waiting 1 hour, there is no shita like that you can wait 1 hour. So obviously, what that means is that you also need to make sure that it's a different suda, because that at least you have a sheet in Rishonim that says that's a different suda. So yeah, meaning the 1 hour, like he said in the Darkei Moshe, the 1 hour, okay, you're into that gesuntahet, that's fine, but make sure you're following the din. The din is that you have to make sure it's another suda. How do you make sure it's another suda? That you bench. But waiting 1 hour without benching is nothing. What if you were sitting around the table and schmoozing, and having dessert, and then you decide to bench? That's fine. Then right afterwards, you could already eat something milchiks. So the basis of the 1 hour, the gross of Kanva, very famously points out, is from a Zohar in Parshas Mishpatim. The Zohar writes, "Kolman da achil hay michla kichada." If a person eats this food at once, o b'shaita chada, o b'su udasa chada. What does it mean at once? Either in the same shaita or the same suudasa. So the same, if you want to translate it in a certain way, the same hour or in the same meal. Is that what Shaita Chada means? The same hour? Meaning we're trying to come, where does this 1 hour come from? Oh, there's a Zohar, it talks about Shaita Chada. So Shaita Chada must be in the same hour. Not so clear that's what the Zohar means. It's not me that says it. Rabbi Yonis Naipsh, it's in the place. He does not think that Zohar is a good raya at all, that you have to wait an hour, because Shah Achas, what does Shah Achas normally mean in Shas? a moment. Yesh kana olamo b'sha'achas, right? When the sugya's Avodah Zarah is very popular now in times where we talk about tshuva. So, right, so what's that sugya? The guy who's boel every zone in the world, and, you know, Shemayim Varetz, Yivak Shalei Rachamim, Ein Adavra Tolo Yelabi, puts his head between his knees and he cries out, Yatsa Nishmaso, and the Baskel comes out and says, Yesh Kono Olam B'Shah Achas. What it means, Baskel came out and said, there it is, you hit an hour, okay, now we're good, it was an hour. No, it means B'Shah Achas, in a moment of time. You know, right, what's the Varta Bali Musa say, that Sha'a means like a turn, a turning point, like a, you know, like a critical moment in time you have from Parshas Bereishis. And Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't, was not Sha'a to the carbon of Kayin. Sha'a means to turn toward or to, but it doesn't mean an hour. Very lov dafka doesn't mean an hour. So that's the place he points out. 1 hour, where does 1 hour come from? Some place he says something totally different. He says it's not based on the Zohar. 1 hour is a shita about the sheer equal of how long it takes to digest the food. That's where 1 hour comes from, says the Plesi. He says, Aval nira, dezeu im lahamtin sha'a chada o sheishos nechuku b'inyan equal. The whole machlok is about 1 hour, 6 hours, is about digestion. Where does he get that from? Ayin or chayim sim kuf pei dalid, magin avram sivkot and tes, magin avram in 184.9, kuf pei dalid tes, ditchilas equal hu le'erech sha'a v'chobesh. The self equal shisha shows that the digestion process starts about 72 minutes after eating, and it concludes about 6 hours after eating. So the Mekilim thought that the halachas, they agree in principle that the wait between eating flesh and eating milk should be digestion. But which part of digestion? The tchilas digestion or the sofa digestion? So the Mekilim thought it's the beginning of the digestion, and therefore you're allowed to eat right away after 1 hour. Okimat mistavrin tamayu, and he says, and I think it makes sense. V'machmir malchim basar sof equal do shisha shows kavosh kosam agram ramsham ulkach tzar chamtana shisha shows v'zeb boru. And then the place goes on to point out that if it's about the sheer equal, then there's l'chara no room to say into the sixth or meal to meal, even if it's just a few hours, you know, to just say, oh, well, what if I'm in the habit of eating meals every couple of hours? You know, I eat small meals every few hours. So is that in my meal to meal? No, it's nothing to do with meal to meal. It's about sheer equal. It's about something that the human body does. The greatest difficulty with this place, see?
It's not a
desire. What?
Does that mean, nor does it say anything.
Okay, but he's saying avart that's what the underlying assumption is. Meaning you're not allowed to eat them together. What defines together when your body's still dealing with both of them? I think there's a more fundamental problem. What is the shir equal? 72 minutes. So where do we get 1 hour from? Yeah, at least you should have said a shav v'chomesh, right? Something like that. If 72 minutes, and if you want to say lo dak l'chumra lo dak, fine. But lo dak l'kula lo dak. We're not being precise, and we're going to go more mekel. We're going to knock lop off 12 minutes from the tchila shir ikol. It's a little bit difficult.
What's the problem with digesting in and of at the same time? What problem do you run into?
No, because we're saying that there's some sort of isur d'rabanan of having them together. So what's called having them together? So I can understand the place he says. It's mistaver that how are we magdir? What's called having it? You have to mamish pile them one on top of the other? No, having them together means that your body is handling both of them at the same time.
We're saying having them together. What
Israel
are you running into?
You're not. This is Rabbanan. That's part of that. You know, the harchakos that we make for Masa B'chol. The whole thing is Rabbanan.
There'd be no reason to differentiate between, other than the fact that Gemara says it though. But as far there'd be no reason to differentiate milk and then meat, because meat you got to separate between teeth. There's no tumah. But this is you're saying it's digestive, so it's 45 minutes.
Right. If it's digestive, then lechora, that's a good kasha also. That place. That if it's digestive, why if you eat milchik first, you do not have to wait the 1 hour or the 6 hours. Good kasha also. I don't know. Then there's the Darkei Tshuva. The Darkei Tshuva is famous Darkei Tshuva in Ozvav, in the name of the Sefer Mizmor LeDavid. The Darkei Tshuva, of course, is the wound catcher. If you learn your Yerodeya, you got to have a Darkei Tshuva handy. Mizukenim Esponon, I've had the opportunity to watch Rav Shechter Paskin many, many Yerodeya Shailas when I... back in the old days when the OU office used to be open, and he would go in every Friday. So, you know, we would, a number of the chevra would go on Fridays to just really observe, talk over some of the shilas with him and bring our own shilas. But we'd watch as like a stream of people who work in the OU would come into his office one after the next, with all the shilas that came up that week and how we passed him. So people think Rav Shechter must be reading a million different things every day. He's always he's quoting from all over the place. I don't know, you ever see him learn? What does he have in front of him when he's learning normally? A Gemara, maybe a Chumash if you catch him right before Shabbos, that's pretty much it. That's all, Shulchan Aruch once in a while. And when he paskins also, he's always got a Gemara, he's got a Shulchan Aruch, he always has a Chumash because it's Friday, so he's trying to be Mavir Sedra a little bit here and there. And that's sometimes preparing drushes because he's a scholar in residence somewhere. But that's all he's got in front of him. And then when the shilas start coming in, he often asks for a darkei tshuva, right? The darkei tshuva is if you want to find the Mar Makomos in Yeridaya, so the darkei tshuva is the place to go. So nothing fancy. It doesn't have all the fancy achron. The darkei tshuva, obviously Mishra Brura once in a while if it's an Aruch Chaim related issue, but for Yeridaya is always darkei tshuva. So darkei tshuva is a moon catcher. The moon catcher, Rav Shechter told us, moon catcher was a Rosh Yeshiva. He was the Rebbe, obviously, but he was a Rosh Yeshiva. And the Munkatri Yeshiva, he wanted to arrange that they should find all the Mar Makomos, all the critical Mar Makomos on each halacha in Yeridaya. But it's a very difficult work for a person to do on their own. None of these kinds of works are done by one person. Even the Mishnah Berurah wasn't really done by one person. Chafetz Chaim had some help in writing Mishnah Berurah. His sons-in-law helped him a lot. And that was the Chafetz Chaim. So the Darkei Tshuva, it was just Chafetz Chaim's yahrzeit. Is that correct? Yeah, yesterday. So Darkei Tshuva had the whole yeshiva working on it. So Rav Shechter thought that that's why sometimes, like, he appointed each boy in the yeshiva to do a different se'if and to do all the research. So you can imagine going into our base medrash and trying to have a collaborative work where each guy in the base medrash gets a different se'if. You'd imagine some of them are going to be very, very strong and are going to have a lot of Mar Makomos. And some of them, the Shvacha guy will be like, oh, the Shach says that. He doesn't know where to look even. He doesn't know exactly where. So he says in Darkei Tshuva, you find some inconsistency sometimes in terms of how strong the Mar Makomos are. But anyway, Shvacha very much likes the Sefer. But in Darkei Tshuva, this is probably the most famous Darkei Tshuva in Yeridaya. He quotes from the Mizmor LeDavid. And in the Birur Chaim of Chaim Shalom Segel, it's brought down that those of German descent have the custom as well, where he quotes, to wait 3 hours. Why? So Darkei Tshuva writes, Ha'il v'im ha'yib chorev, oz ha'yib kvar zman su'udasa achrita, im kein me'me le'muchach de'enu moshech tam gam la'achar kimul shalos. Ooh, he says, apparently the idea of Misuda L'suda is to wait the amount of time that it's not going to be moshech tam, that you're not going to have the flavor anymore in your mouth. Mar Ukva just estimated that takes misuda l'suda. So how much time do people wait from one suda to the other? Well, in the winter, where the day is very short, the period of time between sudas is usually 3 hours, so the effects of the previous meal, whether you hold tam or digestion, but let's assume tam, they wear off after 3 hours. So even though we don't live in such a place, we've added a third meal to the day anyway. So we have 3 hours right between if morning seder starts at 9, you're usually gobbling up breakfast at like 8:45, and then lunchtime is 12 o'clock. So that's come out 3 hours between meals. And Rabbi Yeruchim quotes such a minhag, but it seems that in Rabbi Yeruchim it was probably a toh sofer, because if you read the next line in Rabbi Yeruchim, it's clear that he didn't really say that. So maybe it's not Rabbi Yeruchim, but you have in Darkei Tshuva like this, that it's also based on Suda.
Don't the Rishonim here talk about Shachris Kaharvis, because the assumption was they were only having 2 meals?
Yeah, the assumption was always 2 meals.
And then the Harshvar, the Mar Ukva's estimation, the minimum in the time of the winter is 3 hours, because even that.
I think the assumption is that if Mar Ukva was willing to tell the whole world that you equate Misuda L'Suda, so if you live very far north, and you're going to follow Misuda L'Suda in the wintertime, there's not going to be more than 3-4 hours in between one Suda and the next, assuming you're eating during daylight hours. What?
Even if you're having 2 meals.
Yeah, even if you're having 2 meals. There are some places that never get dark during the summer and barely get light during the winter. Remember when Rav Shechter went to St. Petersburg? He does those summer trips to make his wife happy. So when he went to... St. Petersburg, like it occurred to him like 2 weeks before he went, that it never gets dark in St. Petersburg. You never have Tesa Kochavim in the summertime. It's so far north. So he was freaking out. He's like, well, what am I going to do about Shabbos? Like, when am I going to end Shabbos? So he was like, right away, he was trying to do research. Rabbi Itzel of Petterberger lived there. Like, there had to be some way to end Shabbos. There had to be some mates. I think what he ended up doing was Tulchatzos HaLayla. Chatzos HaLayla, he ended Shabbos. But it's a real Shaila. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in the Maria Journal, on page Ayin Tes, is quoted as being asked the following about the custom of not waiting the full 6 hours. He was asked about, you know, the five and a little bit. So he answered that Haminagu lahamtin sheishos maleos. The minig is 6 full hours. Av misha make lahamtin pachos misheishos efshal lachos chameishos umashahu. But someone who waits less than 6 hours, he can wait 5 and a mashahu. Why? Where does it come from? Kikulazos novas midivrei Rambam hakosev kimoshe shows, because the Rambam very clearly does not give an exact number of hours. He says kimoshe shows. So kimoshe shows could be 5 hours also, or five and a little bit. They say that Rav Aaron Cutler Zatzal used to have that practice, that to wait kimoshe shows. Rav Palm's grandson told me that his grandfather told him that into the sixth is really the halacha, although I've asked many Talmidim of Rav Palm, including those who learned Yeridea by him, and they said they never heard him say that, but it could be that he told that to his grandchild. But anyway, that's Rav Aaron Cutler's Shita. Rav Vadya Nyabi Omer Chelek Aleph Yeridea Simin Dalid says that of course Kimo Shei Shos, meaning we don't have anything where you have such precise numbers of minutes or hours. Of course it's going to be Kamoshe shows. They didn't have clocks. So without the benefit of a clock, you can't have something that's Tully in the whole world being able to figure out where, you're going to look at the sun and figure out what exactly 6 hours is. Now, obviously, it has to be some sort of estimation. You know, my father-in-law is a big expert in Zmanim, and he says one of the big paradigm shifts, one of the big changes is that, one of the big reasons that people misunderstand halacha nowadays in terms of Zmanim is that Zmanim were never in terms of minutes. It was never, it was always in terms of levels of darkness and, you know, being able to look at the sky. We look down to find out the Zmanim, right? They used to look up to figure out the Zmanim. Sablovsky Shlita said he was on a trip somewhere and they were trying to figure out when Shkia is. So everyone's on their apps and, you know, plugging in the longitude and latitude and time of year. It's like, the sun is there. it's like still in the sky. It's obviously not Shkia, you know? Like, you have to look up sometimes to figure out what the Zmanim are. Rabbi Bleich points out that Kamo Sheishos could also mean seven. You know, everyone likes to estimate down, but Kamoshe Shos can mean a little more than six. Obviously, the very phrase Misudu L'Sudu implies that it's not exact, that it's not being precise. In fact, in Hilchas Chanukah, by Ad Shetich L'Regel Min Ashuk, the Rambam writes, "What's Ad Shetich L'Regel Min Ashuk? How long does the candle have to be? Kichatzi Sha'a." Because nothing was precise before there were clocks. That's why the Gemara in Pesachim discusses the time to stop eating chametz being early. It used to be that when people wanted to know what time it is, they'd look up to the sky. So you had to worry about cloudy days and what they would do. So that's the sugya at the very beginning of Maseches Pesachim. There's also an interesting marshal over here that the Taz and the Shach both quote from a marshal that if you're in the middle of a su'udas basar, even though you haven't actually eaten meat in a really, really long time, so long as you're still in that suda, the whole day is going to be asr. And that marshal is a little bit difficult because, minalei, huh? You know, where does he get that from? And the Shach and the Taz sound like that's how they're touching up the Mechaber, that the Mechaber will be molded to that. Now, l'chora, the way we've formulated is that there is such a shita, the Bali Atos will say that it's got to be a different su'udah. They have to do something to mark it as a different su'udah. Now, we are now marking off, this is a new su'udah. But the Mechaber doesn't go with that approach. He goes with the approach of there's something practical, there's something going on in your body, there's something going on in your mouth, on your hands, in your digestive system, however you want to understand it. But that has everything to do with time and nothing to do with a particular suda. So for the Taz and the Shach to read that into the Mechaber is a little bit difficult.
Isn't it tough to do the Kishay stuff when we usually trust the Mechaber's type of the Rambam, but he just says
Sheish. Yeah, that is very tough. Yeah, I think if we're not for Avraham Cutler, I think it would be a joke. I don't think anyone would accept it. But Avraham Cutler was big.
The Rav Shalom is saying that whatever you need to, for the Suda, he said that waiting time starts when you enter the Suda. I mean, he's assuming there is a waiting time just when you enter the Suda.
Right, but we're Mehechitesi that no matter how long you wait, if you're in the Suda, it doesn't help. Right? Within the Mechaber to say that way. Right? Mehechitesi that if I'm still sitting around, you know, sometimes you're at those interminable meals on Shabbos, you know, like, so Mehechitesi that just no matter how long you wait, that it's, you know, that you have to wait, that the Mechaber holds it within the same suit, that's a problem. So I have a nice sefer called Peros Habayis. It was written by an old chavrus of mine, Rabbi Asher Fruchter. He quoted it once in a while in Hilchas Nida last year also. So he has on Bas B'chot and Tarovas. This was the sefer that Rav Shechter told me when at my niece's engagement party. The Shechters were in town, so they came. So Rav Shechter said, "Remember that guy that was in my shir? I think he was in the same time as you, Fruchter. Remember that guy?" I said, "Yeah, he was my chavrusa." So he said, "Yeah, I just got his sefer in Yeridaya." He said, "I thought I knew Yeridaya. This guy is unbelievable. He really became quite a Talmud Chacham. Already back then, he was pretty strong in learning. So anyway, so he has a, it's not an easy sefer. He doesn't write like in a very easy style because he assumes a lot of knowledge usually. But he points out that this problem with the Marshal, and particularly with the application that the Shach and the Taz have of Marshal within the Shitas HaMechaber. He says the Mechaber Paskins, like we showed him, that you need 6 hours. So L'chaura, that's because they understood Marukva, waiting Mesuda L'suda, like the Dagmar Vav over here, that they wait 6 hours is Suda L'suda. So if you assume that the Gemara is talking about Hamtana Zman, L'chaura Marukva was not Machmir, it was not Machmir for anything else, just Vav Shaus, because that's what it is, meaning it wasn't Machmir for also a different Suda, if the whole din is about Zman. Furthermore, he suggests, and I don't think this is correct, he suggests that from the Ramah it sounds like the only need Siluk Su'uda because of the Zohar, that he was Makbid on Su'uda Achas. I don't know if I would say that. I would say you need Siluk Su'uda because Ramah says the Yikra Adin is like the Balei Atosos, that you need Siluk Su'uda. The hour, that's where the Ramah says, where in the world did you get that from? That's based on the Zohar. The pashtus of the Zohar, by the way, maybe someone pointed this out before, is that it doesn't make a difference which one, you know, which one you ate first. That you can't, meaning having them both together is problematic. And Prima Gadim discussed that over here as well. So why is it Shaykh, according to the Mechaber, to talk about Siluk Su'uda? The Mechaber is not worried about the Zohar. And you know, so the Zohar says Su'udosachada, Shaitochada, but the Mechaber's not worried about that. And the Mechaber reads the Gemara to be talking about a particular amount of time and not the Su'uda. So Rav Asher Fruchter points out that if you look in the Sharet Tzion in the Mishnah Berurah and some Tav Tzadi Dalid, why Tav Tzadi Dalid? What's Tav Tzadi Dalid? Ruchaim? Hilchashvuas. Right, so we talk about waiting between milk and flesh. That's when you give this shir, by the way, right? When you're going to be asked to speak somewhere on Shavuot. So this is a popular shir to give. First time I ever gave this shir was at like 3 in the morning on Shavuot in DRS many years ago. And there was a guy there who wanted to start a new shul in North Woodmere. He's like, "Okay, that's my rabbi," and that's how I got my job. So you never know when you talk about waiting between milk and flesh to a room of 3 people, 2 of whom are sleeping at 2 in the morning, and you never know. It's always good to give shiur. Stop, to be marbet stover, it's always good to give shiur. But anyway, so Mishnah Berurah in Sim Tzavtzai Dalet writes that if you wait 6 hours, the Gavina Kasha, so you also need Siluk Su'uda. So, meaning he's understanding, like the Marshal, that when Marukva says you need to wait Misu'uda L'Su'uda, he's really saying two things. First of all, that you need to wait 6 hours, and that you need siluk su'uda. And it's very mistava that way, because the Rishonim that say the Marukva is explaining that you need 6 hours, well, why didn't he say that beferish? Meaning, if all it is waiting 6 hours, well, who's coming up with this misu'uda l'su'uda? Well, just say it. Just say that you have to wait X amount of time. So it must be that Marukva said, meaning that Marukva had two things he wanted to say, and one of them he said explicitly, that you should wait X amount of time, and you should be misalik the suda. So the that second chumrah of the siluk suda is shayich by achilas basar achar gavina, even if 6 hours is not going to be shayich, right? Meaning lechora, these are two totally separate things. But Marukva is being mocked about both of them. There's waiting the 6 hours, and then there's the siluk su'uda. But lechora, the siluk su'uda is the zohar, that's shayt echada, that's su'da sechada, so that doesn't matter which one you ate first. The 6 hours does make a difference, which one you ate first. But the Mishnah Brura sounds not that way. The Mishnah Brura sounds like you don't need siluk su'uda if you're not waiting 6 hours. That 6 hours and siluk su'uda go together with each other, but if you ate milachik first, where you're not going to need 6 hours, so then you're not going to need siluk su'udi either. So why would that be the case? So what Rabbi Fruchter suggests is that you have to say the sphere le marshal u'dimei, that the marshal and his chevra hold the iloha lo kaimaha shatam shabin on siluk su'uda hu gede le kaim harchakas vav sha'os, that siluk su'uda is in order to make sure that one fulfills the din of vav sha'os sheish loma. If we would be makel to allow you to eat a milchik dessert after a fleishig meal, in the same meal, afilu achar vavshos, even if you sat around the table for 6 hours, vada yavo gam lechel toch vavshos, then people will have a milchik dessert and fleishig meal without waiting the 6 hours. So that's what you have to say, that the two go hand in hand. That's what he suggests. He has more to say, but let's leave that over there. Now, there is also machlokas over here in terms of why it is that we wait, and let's just at least introduce this machlokas and maybe get into it a little bit more tomorrow. The Rambam, Macholzer's Paktas Halach Chavchas, Misha Achal Basar B'tchila, Bein Basar B'hem, Bein Basar Of, Lo Yachal Achrav Chal Vachish B'nei, K'dei Shiyosu D'Acher Zvu K'mo She'shels, Mipnei Habasar shel beina shinayim she'eino sar bikinuach. The Rambam is very clear. You need to wait after eating chicken and meat because we're worried about food getting stuck in your teeth. And for up to 6 hours, it's still considered halachically meat. After 6 hours, it loses its status of meat because it's been digested by your saliva. It's been broken down on some level by your saliva, and therefore would not be considered meat anymore. But the basar b'nei shinayim is the need to wait 6 hours. Not that after 6 hours, all the basar will have fallen out between b'nei shinayim, but even if it's still there, b'nei shinayim, it's no longer basar after 6 hours. That's the pashtus of the Rambam. Rashi, on Kofei Amal Al Dibar Maskel Asur, says, Mishum to basar motzi shuman, v'u nidbak b'peh u'ma'arich b'taymah. That basar has a certain fattiness, a certain flavor, strong flavor that it leaves, and you need to wait after having meat because ingested meat takes a while to not feel that flavor anymore. And the Taz and Sifkan Aleph quotes both of these. Now the Achronim bothered how the Rambam is going to learn the Gemara's question. Basar shebein hashinayim mahu. The Gemara raises the question, Basar shebein hashinayim mahu. We can't be asking that if you have to remove meat found in your teeth after 6 hours, that you know whether you have to remove meat found in your teeth after 6 hours, because the Rambam holds that such meat is not meat anymore. It's lost its status of meat. So pasuk that you don't have to remove it. So what is the Gemara exactly asking? Basar shebein hashinayim, and then quotes that pasuk of Basar odenu bein hashinayim. So the Bach in Siman Pei Tes understands that the Gemara is asking, can you just floss and then not have to wait 6 hours? And the Gemara answers, Habasar odenu bein hashinayim, meaning you're not going to get it all. That even if you floss, you're not going to get everything out. The Minchas Aron understands that the Gemara's question was whether the reason to wait is about Basar shebein hashinayim or about something else, with nafkaminas that we're going to see tomorrow. And the answer is, Basar bein shinayim shows that the reason is about meat stuck between the teeth, and it applies to Basarov, because the pasuk is by Slav, We'll get to that as well, right? Does this maybe enough community between Rashi and the Rambam? Whether it applies to Basar Elf. The Maram understands that the Gemara is questioning why we'd be worried about Basar Ben Yishnayim if, after all, Basar Ben Yishnayim Mahu, meaning Basar Ben Yishnayim Mahu means not what's the halacha. It's like, what's Basar Ben Yishnayim? That's like a zero. It's nothing. It has no chashivas. The Gemara says, yes, it does. The Pasuk talks about Basar Oden Ben Yishnayim. So apparently it does have some chashivas. But bottom line is, the Rambam understands that the reason for the Yisur is the Basar Ben Yishnayim, and after 6 hours, it's no longer Basar. Rashi understands the reason for the Yisur is the strong impact on your mouth and digestive system that meat leaves, that you feel that flavor. So there may be many, many nafkaminas between Rashi and the Rambam. If you look in the Bach in Sivkat and Aleph, the Gra in Sivkat and Yadalid, and we'll have to see. I think there are at least five nafkaminas between Rashi and the Rambam. You take a look at the Knesset HaGedola, at the Taz, the Taz in Sivkat and Dalid, many nafkaminas, and we'll have to see how we paskin on those nafkaminas. So Bez Hashem, we'll start with that tomorrow. We'll start with that tomorrow. Okay? Yeah.
Isn't the Rambam Mishnah that she attacks the Torah? Like, the Pasuk says the Pasuk in Hashem is 12 Basar, so, like, where did the Rambam get? Like, well, it's 12 Basar until, like, now. No?
What do you mean? Dashin in time of the crowd, what is it?
Meaning, the Pasuk said, the Gemara says that because of that Pasuk, I know that Pasuk in Hashem is 12 Basar. So, where did the Rambam get this from that it's only 12 Basar for so long? Like, hey, Tasi, the Pasuk said it's 12 Basar. Like,
right.
It's also never happened.
There has to be some gvul, right? Forever, it's going to be called basa. It's got a yesh gvul davar. So he assumed that that's what Marukva was commenting on, what the gvul is.
If you see basa there, so why isn't that just called basa?
Meaning, if sometimes you go to the dentist and he manages to blow out a piece of meat from 3 weeks ago, so he's still flashing. Okay. Alright. Low battery on whoever's phone it was. Oh, we have a question up there. From Yoni. Why would Zohar's Shach Adam mean the same moment? And also it's not just on the same meal. You can't have the same meal, and obviously you can't have the same meal. Yeah, what is the same? Meaning he's saying two separate chumras, same meal and same hour. I'm just saying that Shah Lav Dafka means an hour. Shah means a period of time. That in the same maimed, in the same the same basic time frame. I don't think it necessarily means like a second, like Shah, but it's Lav Dafka that it means an hour, I think. That's the place.